Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Last night's national championship game, it was an absolute beatdown. Clemson handles Alabama 44-16. Held Alabama to 0 points in the second half. I was on a group text with a couple of friends, we were talking at a halftime.
Yeah.
And it was like the halftime line was Alabama minus 7.5, and Alabama's total was 20, meaning Alabama had to score 20 points in the second half. And I made the brilliant observation. I said, listen, Alabama just scored 16 and a half, and that was a half in which Clemson got the ball first. So Alabama's about to get the ball first. Uh-huh. And Tua threw two interceptions. So if they could score 16 when they didn't get the ball first, and Tua threw two interceptions, surely they can score 20 when they do get the ball first, right?
No.
That's basically how every one of our group texts goes. you break it down in a way that sounds so sensible at the time, and then they just get held to 0 points in the second half. Obviously, we've seen Alabama lose before, but not like this. Not since Nick Saban had returned them to a national power. Clemson's Trevor Lawrence was 20 of 32 passing, 347 yards in the air, 3 touchdowns. Dustin Ross caught 6 balls for 153 yards and a touchdown. Both those guys are freshmen, so Clemson has 2 more seasons with that. So good luck, ACC, and maybe good luck everybody else, because though I don't think Clemson's that much better than Alabama. It seemed pretty clear last night that Clemson is better than Alabama. And when they got all these playmakers coming back, including somebody who, you know, NFL draft analysts are saying would be the number one pick in this NFL draft if he were allowed to be picked, but he can't be picked for 2 more years. When you got that guy at quarterback, Dabo could be in a position where it's time to start stacking one national title after another. Cowboy Carson, what'd you make of last night's Clemson blowout?
I thought Clemson showed out, and that was exactly I think they are that good. I actually think they are that much better than Bama.
Well, listen, if you were going to make that case, now's the time to make it, because they looked it last night.
Yeah, I mean, they overwhelmed them. I mean, every phase of the game, they overwhelmed them, and I couldn't think anything else other than, man, they must just be that much better. Here's the other thing I thought about. I'm like, well, Alabama's got a young quarterback, too. And they did that, you know?
You're right. They overwhelmed them basically in every phase of the game. And I saw that. You saw that. And guess who else saw it? Nick Saban saw it.
Yeah.
And Dan Wolkin had a nice column from California. He was at the stadium last night about the opening drive of the third quarter, which I thought was disastrous for Alabama, but also telling of the way that the game was unfolded. And obviously I'm talking about the fake field goal that was just an absolute mess. So it's opening drive of the third quarter. Alabama gets the ball, and they're driving. Like, that over 20 is looking good, but temporarily. They're down 31-16 at this point, and they're driving and they're driving, but then they end up in a fourth down situation, and they end up running a fake field goal that just was sniffed out and stopped pretty easily. And the point Wolkin made in the column is that, you know, at that point, there's still plenty of time in the game.
Right.
You know, you're only down 2 scores. There's plenty of time in this game. And if you're Nick Saban, you don't start resorting to fake field goals unless you know, I can't win this straight up.
Yep.
I can't win this straight up. I'm going to have to take big risk and, try some stuff that we otherwise would not try because we're not the better team. And I don't know if Nick Saban actually thought that, but logically it does make sense. Why are you doing that in that moment other than you think it's necessary? Like, hey, if we do not score here, if we just, if we just kick the field goal here, it's 31-19. Mm-hmm. And so we're down 12, but we're still down 2 scores. And, man, I don't know if we'd stop them from scoring. You know, I don't know if we can stop them.
I don't know.
So, like, we can't trade field goals for touchdowns with these guys because they're not going to stop scoring. And so that's why you go for the fake field goal. It's really the only reason to go for the fake field goal, because you feel like you can't settle for three there, and you feel like you can't beat them straight up. Like, according to Walken's column, that was an admission by Nick Saban that he didn't have the better football team. And I don't know that he's ever admitted that. You know, in terms of in-game decisions, I don't know. I wonder how often he has done something like that that is a de facto admission of, we're not just going to be able to win this game because we're the better team.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to take risk and try tricks to keep up with this Clemson football team, because I don't know that we're going to be able to slow them down. It seemed like an admission, and it obviously backfired, and then it was all downhill from there. Like, the fourth quarter was not even really – you could turn it off and go to sleep. It did not matter. You could keep watching because you wanted to see the trophy presentation or the Clemson celebration, or, you know, just how many points Clemson might score, but the game was over in the third quarter, and that's just not something we normally say with a Nick Saban Alabama-coached team. One other point Walken made on Twitter during the game, and it was at some point where there was baffling play calls from Alabama. You know, Alabama was moving the ball. They generated a lot of yards, but not a lot of points. And the reason is because when they got into scoring opportunities into the red zone, it was just like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why did you run that play? Like the you know, running to at one point on a fourth down, like, what are you doing? And it's not just one of those things like, what are you doing because it did not work. It's like, why did you run that play? Why did you do this thing? And one of the points Walken made on Twitter, and I have no reason to believe it's not true, is that even while Alabama was rolling through this regular season and putting together a resume that made some people think maybe this is the best, you know, Nick Saban Alabama team that we've ever seen, there were whispers among other college football staffs that maybe all of the departures on Nick's staff had finally caught up to him.
Mm-hmm.
That a lack of continuity had finally caught up to him. That the people he was surrounded with now weren't as good as the people he used to surround himself with. Perhaps no fault of his own. I think some people will tell you that he can be hard to work for, so folks move on. I think other people will tell you that they're mostly moving on for better jobs, to become head coaches here or there. But either way, the turnover has been pretty regular. And then Joel Klatt from Fox Sports provided the details on Twitter either late last night or early today. He said over the last four seasons, Alabama has lost 13 assistant coaches. Clemson's only lost two. Alabama's had four different coordinator combos in the past 4 years. Clemson has had the same coordinator combo each of the past 4 years. And I do think that that's not nothing. Because, A, you're just bringing new people into the building nonstop, which isn't easy. But, B, I don't care who you are. Eventually, you're going to mess up and hire somebody who's not as good as the person you used to have. Eventually, you're going to put somebody in a position for which they're not equipped to succeed. And I don't want to identify Mike Locksley as that just because of what happened last night. But I just refuse to believe that if you go 2-26 as a head coach at New Mexico, I wouldn't put you in charge of anything.
Right.
Because that suggests to me you're not good. Because I don't care what college football job you get and how bad it was when you got it. If you finish 2-26 through 3 years, you're not good. So he's going to be the next Maryland coach. And I tweeted this last night. I'm like, Maryland fans must be thrilled.
Oh, man.
You know, they're hiring it. They've got a coach who's head coaching record previously is 2-26, and he's having a bad night on a big stage that is the national championship game. And a lot of them actually agreed with me, but some of them were like, you don't know anything about Mike Locksley. I will acknowledge this.
Yeah.
I don't know as much about him as hardcore Maryland fans probably do. But what I do know is that he went 2-26 at New Mexico. And I just fundamentally believe if you are a good football coach, you will not go 2-26. I don't care what your job is. I don't care what your job is. I don't care in what league you play. I don't care what it looks like when you inherit it. If you, 3 years later, have a record of 2-26, you are not good at your job. And so for Nick Saban to have that guy in charge of something, maybe it just caught up to him. We talked about this last week with Greg Marshall at Wichita State when Memphis was getting ready to play the Shockers inside FedEx Forum. Obviously, Greg Marshall is a tremendous basketball coach, like an elite college basketball coach. But he's had a lot of staff turnover in recent years. He's lost Chris Jans, who's now the head coach at New Mexico State. He's lost Steve Forbes, who's now the head coach at East Tennessee State. He's lost Greg Hare, who is now an assistant with Will Wade at LSU. And with all due respect to the guys who he has on his staff now, I think it's pretty obvious and undeniable that his staff has been downgraded. And, you know, recruiting has taken a dip. Now, he also just got caught in a total rebuild year. So we might look up in 2 years and he's got Wichita State competing, you know, in the top 20 again. But the roster, I mean, the staff turnover, the roster turnover is a problem too. But the staff turnover was a big problem, is a big problem right now that Greg Marshall is having to endure. And at least some smart college football people think that it's a problem for Nick Saban as well. Obviously, Alabama's problems, Nick's problems are smaller than most people's problems. You know, they're still just got through playing for the national championship, and they're still, you know, considered a top two team going into to next season. But Clemson's going to be the preseason number one. It doesn't matter if you've seen the, you know, very early rankings at The Athletic by Stuart Mandel or the very early rankings at CBS Sports by Dennis Dodd, or even the odds to win the national championship coming out of Vegas. Everybody's got Clemson as the favorite. At Oddshark, they've got Clemson plus 175 to win the national title, Alabama second at plus 250, Georgia third at plus 550, then Ohio State and Penn State both at plus 1200. And so the column Wolken wrote was basically that Dabo Swinney is the new king of college football, that Nick Saban has been replaced. And I don't know if I'm willing to go that far because, you know, this time yesterday, everybody thought Nick Saban was about to win a third title in 4 years, right? Then the game was played, and obviously it didn't go the way most people thought it was going to go. But, you know, I don't know if you just start taking Nick's crown after one football game. On the other hand, I will say this.
Yeah.
You know, Clemson's the favorite to win the national championship next season.
Right.
And then after next season, they get Trevor Lawrence and Justin Ross back again. And they'll probably be the favorite to win it then. And so for a while, we have consistently asked, like, when is Nick Saban going to win his next national championship? You know, is that, that's something we, you know, is this the year he wins his next one? It's never been, will he win the next one? It's like, when will he win the next? Like, is it going to be this year? Probably. Okay, then next year? Probably. But right now, the question, more reasonable question is probably, will he? Because he's not, you know, there are people close to that program who think the end is closer than most outsiders realize with Nick for one reason or another. Maybe he just retires and decides to sit on and look at the lake or go challenge himself in another way. But I don't really think people connected to college football think Nick is going to be doing this six, seven, eight more years down the road. And when you combine that with the reality that Dabo has built an absolute monster at Clemson and is probably going to be the favorite to win the national championship each of the next 2 years after winning it last night, I do think it's perhaps for the first time reasonable to wonder if Nick Saban will win another national championship at Alabama. If you ask me to bet on it, I'd bet yes, just because I think he's going to be in the conversation every year. And if you're in the conversation every year, you know, you're going to have a realistic chance to do it. But wherever Alabama, that program, was considered to be this time yesterday, it's considered to be at a different place right now. That's how much that game flips everything. if Alabama does to Clemson last night what Clemson did to Alabama last night, then it would be Alabama that would be the favorite to win next season's national championship. Alabama would be number one in all of these things. But because it went down the way it went down, and Clemson was so, so impressive, well, now Alabama's looking up at somebody else, and that's not something Alabama normally does.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.